This morning we'd like to draw your attention to the third chapter, beginning with verse 1. And Samuel, the child Samuel, ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious or scarce in those days, for there was no public or open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called, "Samuel," and he answered, "Here I am." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." And he said, "I didn't call you. Lie down again." And so he went and lay down. And the Lord called again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. Did you call me?" And he answered, "I did not call you, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And so the Lord called Samuel the third time, and he arose and he went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you did call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. And therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go and lie down, and it shall be, if he call you, that you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant heareth.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." And the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle." The book of Hebrews begins with these words, "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake unto our fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his own dear Son." The Bible affirms that God has spoken unto man in a variety of ways. In times past, through a variety of ways, God has spoken to our fathers. It should not surprise us that God should speak to man. God began speaking to man very early. In fact, when God placed Adam in the Garden of Eden, the very first words of God to Adam were, "You may freely eat of all of the trees that are in the garden, except the tree in the midst of the garden, and in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die." And after Adam had eaten of that tree, and he was aware that God was there in the garden at the cool of the day, Adam hid himself from the presence of God, attempted to do so at least. And God called and said, "Adam, where are you?" I'm certain that that is an interesting question that God often calls to people today. In fact, to each of us this morning, the question of God, just where are you? Where are you in your relationship with him? Adam, where are you? When God created man, the purpose of God was meaningful fellowship with man. For that, it is necessary to communicate. All relationships are enhanced and developed through communication. And this is where relationships oftentimes break down. Oftentimes, when couples are no longer able to communicate, this is the beginning of the end of that relationship. There's got to be an open communication in order that the relationship be enhanced and be developed and be rich and full. You've got to communicate. God, wanting a rich fellowship with you, a rich relationship, communicates unto man. And we have the capacity of communicating unto God. And it is through prayer that we communicate to God. Through prayer that we open our hearts to Him and bear our souls before the Lord. Pouring out unto Him our joys, our blessings, or at times our sorrows, our fears, our disappointments, our hurts, our pains. But it's as we relate to God and as we communicate to God that this fellowship with God is enhanced and we grow close to Him and He to us. Though we have really just one way to communicate with God, He has many ways by which He can communicate with us. In the story here that is before us in verse 1, the Bible tells us that at that time there was no open vision or there wasn't any public vision. The word of the Lord was scarce. In times past, one of the various ways by which God did communicate with man was through visions. Now, a vision is much like a dream in which you feel that you are participating in actions or activities, except that with a vision, you're wide awake. A dream, you're sleeping. A vision, you're wide awake, and yet you see things, you perceive things, you are entering in and participating in events that are going on within your mind, and it's very clear and very real. In a vision, there is really sort of a stepping into the spiritual zone. And in this spiritual realm, you are seeing and observing and hearing the things of the Spirit. It's spiritual insight. It's an awareness of the spirit world and the things that are going on behind the scenes in the world around you. The prophet Ezekiel was a prophet that had many visions, and he describes often the visions that God had given unto him. And we find that these visions were methods or means whereby God communicated his truths to the prophet or revealed truth to the prophet. It would seem that John, in the writing of the book of Revelation, actually had a vision in which God took him through time on out to the end and allowed him to see the events that were going to yet take place in the future some 2,000 years after his death. So visions are a means by which God often communicated with man. Dreams are another way and are similar to visions. With the exception, dreams, for the most part, are rather abstract and need interpretation. So when God spoke to the Pharaoh through a dream, they called Joseph in to interpret the dream for the Pharaoh. And as in his dream, he had seen 7 fat cows come out of the Nile River. And after them, there were 7 skinny cows, and the skinny cows ate up the fat cows. As the dream was interpreted by Joseph, the fat cows represented the 7 years of which there would be an abundance of crops and harvest, followed by the 7 lean years, and the lean years would be so great that they would eat up the surpluses that developed in the 7 fat years. And so with Nebuchadnezzar, later on, that Babylonian monarch who had a dream, Daniel was brought in and interpreted the dream for Nebuchadnezzar. And so God can speak to man through dreams. The Bible tells us that in the last days, as God pours out his Spirit upon all flesh, the young men shall see visions and the old men shall dream dreams. So that is not something that only belongs to the past history of mankind. It is something that is still open today, and God can still communicate today through visions and through dreams. With Samuel in our text this morning, it would appear that God spoke to him in an audible voice as he was a child, awakening him out of his sleep. As he was there sleeping, and it was getting close to morning, ere the lamp of the Lord went out in the temple. So the lamps were trimmed every morning, and so the fact that they were beginning to get low was indicating that it was towards morning, early morning, that the Lord awoke him by calling his name, Samuel. He went running into Eli, thinking that it was Eli who had called him. And Eli said, no, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. And this happened three times until the old priest realized God must be speaking to this boy. And so he instructed him, when you hear your name called again, respond and say, speak, Lord, for your servant heareth. And so again the Lord spoke, and no doubt in an audible voice, Samuel, Samuel. And he responded, speak, Lord, your servant heareth. And the Lord began to reveal to him things concerning the nation of Israel. And that was the beginning of a long relationship of Samuel hearing the voice of God and in turn giving to people that word of God which had come to him. When Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan, those that were standing around heard a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And God spoke in an audible voice that the people heard. When Paul the apostle was on his way to Damascus to apprehend those who were calling upon the name of Jesus Christ, to arrest them and to put them in bonds and bring them back for trial in Jerusalem, the Lord spoke to Paul in an audible voice there on the road to Damascus. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And those that were with Paul heard the sounds. However, they did not understand the words. But Paul understood the word, an audible voice to him from the Lord. And God can speak to people with an audible voice. And I do not discount at all God speaking today unto certain people in an audible voice. On the other hand, Elijah the prophet was down in the area of Mount Sinai as he had fled from Jezebel. The Lord called him to the entrance of the cave where he was hiding. And there passed by a great wind, but God was not in the wind. Then there came an earthquake, and the rocks were torn and rolled down the mountainside. God wasn't in the earthquake. And then there came a fire sweeping through the valley. God wasn't in the fire. And lastly, Elijah said there was a still small voice, and God was in the still small voice. And so often God speaks to us in that still small voice. Some people call it the voice of conscience. Have you ever had a still small voice say to you, you better not do that? You better not do that. And after you've done it, it says, you shouldn't have done that. Have you ever had that still small voice saying to you, go speak to them, go help them, call them up and encourage them? So often that still small voice is the voice of God speaking to your heart. However, there is difficulty here because it is often extremely difficult, if not impossible, to discern whether or not that voice is coming from God or is just coming from myself. There are many times when I thought that it was the voice of God speaking to me, and I later found out it was only my own voice, my own idea. There were many times when I thought, well, that's just my idea, and it turned out it was God speaking to me. It's extremely difficult to discern, because when God speaks to you, he speaks to your spirit. The Bible tells us that his spirit bears witness with our spirits. Now, when my spirit then brings the thought of God into my consciousness, it comes into the conscious level, as do my regular thoughts, my own imaginations, my own thinking. And it comes as a thought, it comes as an idea, and sometimes even as an inspiration. But then, did that inspiration just come from an interesting blend of chemicals in my brain, or did it come from God? Was God speaking to me in that issue? And I don't always know, and I find many times it extremely difficult to discern. This past week, we had to go up to Santa Barbara to speak at Westmont College. And on the way up, we stopped by our farm in Santa Paula to assess the damage that was done to our citrus crop. Last year, a fire came through and burned out all of our avocado trees. So we replaced the avocado trees with citrus trees. And this past week, with that great freeze that they had up there, we apparently have lost our citrus crop and a lot of our citrus trees that we've just put in. So at this point, you begin to wonder, Lord, what are you seeking to say? You know, evidently you don't want us growing avocados, and now maybe you don't want us growing oranges. What are you trying to tell us, Lord? And you start listening or seeking to hear what God might be saying to our hearts. Well, about Thursday morning, I woke up around 4 o'clock, and I could not go back to sleep because these thoughts were running through my brain. Thoughts of possible use for the property up there. And as I was thinking of the possible use of this property, and it all began to just sort of, you know, formulate in my brain. At this point, I don't know if it was God speaking to me or not. I don't know if God woke me up at 4 o'clock to talk to me about what we should do with the property, or if it's just something that was sort of, you know, assessing the damage that I'm just, you know, did it come from me? Did it come from? I don't know, and I wish I did. But you can't always tell. A lot of times when God speaks with this still small voice, you just have to wait until further developments, and you just watch and you wait, but you're open then in these areas. You're watching for these things to see if there comes a confirmation to these things that were laid upon your heart to determine, was this God or was this not God speaking to me? And Jeremiah, the prophet, seemed to have this same difficulty. And it's sort of comforting to me to know that men like Jeremiah also had a similar type of a difficulty. In the book of Jeremiah, we're reading over and over and over again, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet saying, you read that all the way through the book, and you think, man, this guy is plugged in. He's got a connection that's so tight there's not even static. You know what I mean? Whoo, God just really speaks and very clear and defined. And the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet saying, go down to the potter's house, watch him as he works his work on the wheels, and I will speak to you there. So Jeremiah trots down to the potter's house. He watches him as he spins the wheel and forms this vase out of the clay, and then the vase gets marred, and he takes and, you know, stops the wheel and lumps the clay, throws it back down and starts spinning again and reshapes the same piece of clay into another vessel. And the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet saying, is not the nation Israel like that piece of clay? Am I not able to make of it what I want? And even though it is marred in my hands, I'm able to remake it into a vessel that will be pleasing to me. And the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, and you think, wow, that's As my grandkids say, that's hot, man. That's good. You know, that's really rad, you know, to have God speak to you like that. In the 32nd chapter of the book of Jeremiah, we read, "And the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah while he was in the dungeon. And he said unto him, Your cousin Hanamiel, the son of your uncle Shalom, is going to come and request that you buy his field, for the right of redemption is yours. Purchase that field." Jeremiah says, "And the next day, as I was in the dungeon, my cousin Hanamiel came to me and said, Jeremiah, my field is coming up for redemption. I can't buy it. The right of redemption is yours. Why don't you buy it?" And then Jeremiah said, "Then I knew that it was the word of the Lord that said unto me, Buy the field of Hanamiel's." Which means that he wasn't sure. Sitting there in the dungeon, you know, why should I buy that field? It's already under Babylonian, you know, the Babylonians' armies have already captured Ramallah and that area up there at Ramallah, you know, and what a crazy thought, buy that field, you know. Lord, are you speaking to me or not? You know, and the next day when his cousin comes in and says, "Hey, man, I wish you'd buy my field. The right of redemption is yours, and I can't do it. Would you?" You know, and he said, "Then I knew it was the Lord speaking to me." Here was confirmation. Here was something that came along and sort of confirmed the things that were already upon his heart. And he knew then, this is the direction that God is leading me. And so often when we are in this quandary, I don't know, Lord, is this you or not? As we wait upon the Lord will bring along a confirmation to those things that are upon our heart. And then we know, yes, this was the Lord speaking to me, and we can then begin to follow it. That still small voice, we've all heard it, and we've all shared the same difficulty of knowing whether or not it was God's voice or something out of our own heart. God has spoken to us through his word. The Bible is God speaking to you. Any other communication that you may receive from an angel, from some spirit, from some thought, from some voice, if it is not in perfect keeping and harmony with what God has already declared in his word, reject it. It's not of God. God does not contradict himself. God will not lead you apart from his word. He will not lead you into some action which is forbidden in his word. Sometimes a person will come and say, "Pray with me because I want to know God's will for my life. You know, I've been going with this girl and she's a real sweetheart. Oh, what a doll. She's not a Christian, but oh, she's so sweet. Pray whether or not it's the Lord's will that I marry her." And I say, "I won't." "You mean you're a pastor, you won't pray? What kind of pastor are you, you know?" There are some things you don't have to pray about God's will when God has already declared his will, you see. God's not going to make special exceptions for you. If God has declared a certain thing in his word, that stands. Thus, any word that comes to you must first of all be tested by the word of God that we have, the written word. And that's the first crucible that you put it in to test it, to find out whether or not it is really of God. Paul the Apostle said, "Though we or an angel of heaven, if they teach you or declare unto you any other gospel than what you have already received, let him be accursed." I don't care how, you know, exciting or dramatic or whatever the revelation may have been, if it's not in keeping with what God has declared in his word, nix it. It is in the reading of the word that your ear gets trained to hear the voice of God. Have you ever been reading the Bible and suddenly a scripture just began to make sense like you've never experienced before? You think, wow, I must have read that 100. How come I didn't see that before? And just the truth of it just seems to unfold and break across your heart like you were reading it for the first time, like you've never read that before. That's God speaking to you. That's where you begin to get your ear trained to hear the voice of God. He begins to speak to you through the word that way. And those to me are always special, special times. I love it when God speaks to me through the word. When the word of God just comes alive, when it's almost like the scripture just jumps off the page and hits you right in the face, and you think, wow, you know, and that's good, you know, that's rich. And that happens to me when I read the word and I'm studying and meditating the word. God will just begin to unfold the truth to my heart. And it's just such a glorious time of relationship with God, the enhancing of the relationship as he speaks to me directly from his word and just opens up the word and gives me the clarity of understanding of his truth. And that's a good place for you to train your ear to hear the voice of God as you're in the word and God begins to speak to you through his word. It's a great place for the training of the ear for the voice of God. In the psalm that we read this morning, David declares that God speaks to us through nature. The heavens declare the glory of God. Day unto day they utter their speech. Night unto night their voice is going forth, and it's a universal language, for there's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. And if your ear is open to it, God speaks to you in nature. This is my Father's world, and to my listening ear, all nature sings, and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world. In the rustling grass, I hear him pass. He speaks to me everywhere. Now, that isn't referring to Super Bowl. Whatever this one is, and Elway today in the rustling grass, I hear him pass. I know that some of you are going to expect God to speak to you this afternoon. But God does speak to us in nature. Heaven is talking to you about the glories of God. The earth is showing you his handiwork. Day by day, they're speaking, and God speaks to us in nature in a thousand different ways. If we'll only listen. But finally, God has spoken to us through his Son. God, who in different times and in various ways spoke to our fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his own dear Son. And Jesus came to reveal to you the truth of God. When Philip said, Lord, if you'll just show us the Father, we'll be satisfied. Jesus said, have I been so long a time with you, and yet have you not seen me, Philip? Don't you realize that if you have seen me, you have seen the Father? How is it that you say, show us the Father? He said, I and the Father are one. In order that man might have a clear revelation of God, in order that man might know the truth of God, and they might be able to filter out from all of the various things that are being said concerning God, and these things that are being said today, the God in you, and you are God. Pray to yourself, for you are God. God help you. If you think you're God. But, you know, that's what Ramtha, this 35,000-year-old character, is trying to tell people, and so many others. Jesus came to reveal the truth of God, and the truth of God as revealed in Christ. As John said, we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And he revealed a God of grace, whose chief characteristic is love. So that we know that it is because God loves you that he wants to communicate to you. And he reaches out to speak to you. You see, man is a special and a unique creation of God. It is not said of any of the animals that they were created in the image and likeness of God, only of man. It is only man that can communicate in a very sophisticated way. It is only man who has the capacity to understand that infinity exists. Only man who has the capacity to consciously worship his Creator. We're made separate and apart from the animal kingdom with characteristics that can bring us into a meaningful relationship with God. God made you special and unique in order that he might have that relationship with you, a relationship that it is developed through communication as God speaks to you and you respond. As you speak to God and he responds to you. And God desires to bring you into that conscious fellowship with himself. He loves you and he longs that you should love him. If a man should say to me, well, God has never spoken to me, I would say, you are wrong. God has spoken to every man. There is not a man alive to whom God has not spoken. The problem is, perhaps you're not listening. You may be tuned out. And there are many things that can tune out the voice of God to your heart. Too busy a schedule can tune out the voice of God. Too much of the life of the flesh can tune out the voice of God. It isn't that God isn't speaking. It isn't that God isn't interested in you and doesn't want to communicate with you, but you have tuned out the voice of God so that though he speaks, you do not hear. Would you believe that within the sanctuary this morning, there are a multitude of voices? Many, many voices here in the sanctuary this morning. There is some beautiful symphonic music here in the sanctuary this morning. There's light classical music here in the sanctuary this morning. There's some heavy rock music. Irritating stuff here. Do you believe that? Of course you do. All we would have to do is have the sound engineer upstairs take the tuner and tune in the various frequencies and amplify it through the speakers, and you could hear all of the different voices as he would go down and tune in the various frequencies. You could hear the voices that are existing in all of these multitudes of frequencies of sound here in the sanctuary. As he tuned into some of the frequencies, you could hear the beautiful choirs that are singing. You could hear the glorious classical music. You see, all it is a matter of tuning in. It's there. But to hear it, you have to be tuned in. With the voice of God, it's there. You've got to be tuned in. Your heart has to be open. Spending time and just waiting upon God is a great way to tune in. Opening yourself to him and asking him to speak to you, bringing to him a problem, asking for wisdom and guidance, great ways to tune in to God. And then to listen as God responds and begins to lead and guide your life according to his plan. God is speaking. But as Eli said to the young prophet Samuel, say, speak, Lord, your servant heareth. And may we get alone someplace today and may we offer that prayer ourselves. Speak, Lord, your servant heareth. Shall we pray? Thank you, Father, that you have spoken and that you do speak to men today. O Lord, open our ears and let us hear voices of truth thou sendest clear. Open our eyes and let us see, O God. Open our heart. We might come into this relationship with you as we communicate, as we speak, and as we hear. Draw us unto yourself. And Lord, speak, we pray, to our waiting hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. I pray that you might experience that beautiful, glorious consciousness that God has spoken to me. May you spend some time speaking to Him. May the Spirit of God just really work in your life as He draws you into an intimacy of relationship and communication with our loving Father. God bless you. Keep His hand upon your life. Give you a beautiful week in Jesus' name.